This hour, we talk you through full body health that starts in the mouth. Systemic health is tied to dentistry, and we do it differently through microscopic treatments and non-invasive approaches. Crowns are a thing of the past.
We gotta go back to 1955.
I don't believe it.
You shouldn't have to deal with repeated cavities. And believe us, this is all true. That's exactly why we do this show. You're tuned into the Dr. Shoup Show, presented by Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, located right here in Indianapolis. Or check us out online at ddsradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, hello, everybody. It is great to have you here. Thank you very, very much for deciding to spend an hour with me. This is where you go to hear information and to learn new facts that you will never learn anywhere else. You become smarter, better informed, certainly a more savvy dental, medical, health, wellness, nutrition consumer. We want to give you the information you need to make really good quality healthcare decisions for you, your family, help advise your friends. The more you can spread the joy, the better it is. And this is where we go. Thank you for being here. You know how this works if you are a veteran. If you're a rookie, let me explain. First, we start in dental school. We hold hands, we walk down the hall, we take our seat in class. And today, I want to ask you, as a young kiddo, as a child, did people say you spoke funny? You had a weird kind of an affect to your speech? Did you, by any chance, get sent over to the speech therapist while you were in maybe grade school? Maybe there's stories around the house that you were the kiddo that was fussy and didn't breastfeed very well or whatever. Well, I can tell you why those things happened. And if it's not been fixed, I'm going to tell you why it's so important that it gets fixed even now that you're an adult. And our next segment, as you all know, is Ask the Expert. Now, there is new science on diet, nutrition, and health. There are three separate scientific articles, and you guessed it. Uncle Randy read them all. I'm going to bring them all together to you and correlate them, and I'm telling you, you truly are what you eat. And I'll also tell you, it's not looking real good for us kids, and I'll tell you all the details. And you get to meet my buddy Chuck. Now, have you ever needed to just take a break from something for a while? Have you ever just needed to go, well, I'm just not going to do that for a little while? Well, Chuck took about a 30-year break from dentistry, and thanks to a coworker, he found me. And he'll tell you what the motivation was and why, after 30 years of being at idle, he kicked himself into gear and got dentistry going. It's an interesting story. But first, if you want a really good record of your whole life experience, I'm going to give you an absolutely stunningly great example of it. And you won't even believe how long this record is. I'm going to tell you all about it right now.
Time to go under the microscope.
I was very excited to start my reportings.
I stumbled across this article, and it was absolutely fascinating to me that we have the technology to do this today. And it has all the cool things I like. A, it's really old. A, you get to dig stuff up. B, there's science involved. The only thing it misses is dinosaurs. You know how I like dinosaurs. But this is pretty close. How about this? Ancient women's teeth reveal origins of the 14th century Black Death. This is cool. Check it out. In 1338 or 1339, right in that year period there, Bakwe is a woman's name, is a faithful woman in her 40s who stood just 4 feet 8 inches tall and died and was buried in a cemetery about 7 miles outside of Bishkek, which was the capital of what is now Kyrgyzstan. Her tombstone was inscribed in Syriac, which is an ancient Arimathaic dialect. She was one of 114 people buried there during that 2-year period of time, 1338 and 1339, who accounted for 1/4, 25% of the cemetery's burials while it was in operation. Her tombstone does not mention the cause of her death, but the other tombstones do, and they all list pestilence, what you and I today call the plague. Basque's teeth, as well as those of another woman buried nearby, have now yielded genetic evidence of what researchers suggest is the ancient first ever strain of the Yersinia pestis bacteria. If you're a listener of the show, you know that is the bacteria that was carried by the fleas, that was on the rat, that was the cause of the great Black Death bubonic plague epidemic in Europe. But this was significantly earlier than the bubonic plague. Virtually all of the genetic and historical data on the second plague so far from the Black Death bubonic plague all come from Europe. But the researchers extracted, it's called Y. pestis, DNA from the tissues inside of these two women's teeth and sequenced the genome of those pathogens, which were found to be identical. The teeth of a woman who died in her 50s also revealed the Y. pestis DNA, but it was too degraded for actual really, really high-level analysis. Because the newly recovered strain resembles the modern one found in animals in the region, the researchers said that it originated in a nearby mountain region on the border of Kyrgyzstan and China. The bacteria jumped from a rodent host, where does that sound familiar, likely a marmot, to the humans. So check this out. These ancient burial sites have been unearthed for several years. They were doing research on the genetics of these people, found this bacteria genetic material inside the tooth. They were looking at the teeth of these people because it tells so many details about their lives. And they discovered what they really believe would be the origin, the first, the prime bacteria that ultimately grew and went on to become the bubonic plague in Europe. But this was only a couple of hundred years before, because these bacteria all morph and change and adapt, and in this case, rather than in Europe jumping from a flea to a rat to a human, they jumped from a marmot to a flea, to a human. Isn't science amazing? Isn't it wonderful? And they all tie these things in together. Brilliant. I just love this stuff. Now, did you speak funny as a young kid? Can you stick your tongue out really far or not so far? I'm going to tell you all the reasons that those things happen right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at DTSradio.com. Over 10 years of the on-air life-changing lessons, where we say, you don't need crowns, and living with repeated cavities is a thing of the past. Keep it locked to learn more as we continue the Dr. Shoup Show. We're online at DTSradio.com. Now, here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Hey,
Well, it's so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. I always appreciate it. When you decide to spend an hour with me, this is so much fun. I get to talk about things, present information to you that I hope is going to be really important in all the things, the decisions you want to make about your health. This one is a sleeper. This one, most folks don't really pay a lot of attention to, but I'm telling you, this particular item has so much importance to it. It is so overlooked. It is vastly underestimated. And if you have the awareness of all of this, if you can look for it, monitor it, tell other people about it, you will be doing everybody a huge service. What I'm talking about is the frenulum, or the frenum, however you want to, whichever dictionary word you want to use. They're synonyms, actually. But a frenulum is a medical term for a small sliver of tissue, skin, that attaches one moving part of your body to another. There are several of them on your body in various locations, but the one we're going to talk about today is the one that is under your tongue, and it connects the bottom of your tongue down to the floor of your mouth. And you would think this little innocuous, unimportant piece of skin down there would have no relevance to anything whatsoever, but au contraire, my friend, it is very important. What we know now is that if that little band of skin is way too tight, it is too short, it limits the amount of movement your tongue can do, it virtually changes the entire ultimate shape of your face. I know that's a big statement. Yes, I understand that there are people who go, well, how does that little piece of skin make a difference? It's because it controls your tongue. And if your tongue is restricted from, in essence, spreading out and moving forward, your lower jaw doesn't want to develop fully because it's not being pushed by that gigantic muscle, which is your tongue, to grow as you are really, really small. You find this in little kiddos really early on because they don't have the ability to successfully nurse from mom. They don't have the ability to what's called latch or attach to the nipple. They fuss, they fight, they spit up, they're just uncomfortable. Moms are super uncomfortable. It's oftentimes painful because the little kiddos try to bite rather than suckle like they should. And those are the first signs that you should have somebody look at that band of skin. And there are super easy ways of adjusting that little band of skin, and we'll go into it in a minute. But let's say you didn't get that. You weren't discovered to have a really tight and restricted lingual frenum. And so you grew up, ultimately went to school, and now you get to school, and you're in English class in first or second or third grade, and the teacher is teaching you how to pronounce words, and you have this kind of weird little funny affect to your speech. You say certain words in kind of a strange way. We called it, as I was a kid growing up, Dutchy. I don't know where the term came from. It was not particularly pejorative. It was just the way we described people who had trouble forming certain words. So you would get sent over to the speech pathologist at the school, and they would work with you. And hopefully, this is location number two that somebody should have discovered that you had a really restricted lingual frenum, because it is far and away, by far, the number one reason that people have trouble learning to articulate certain words. Your tongue needs to be able to do certain maneuvers. It's distracting for me at this point because I know what I know and I can see the speech patterns in people. When I watch people speak on television, I can tell you if they're tongue-tied or not. It's distracting as the dickens, I promise you, because you keep fixating on their how they tongue position. And if I were to ask you to look at their mouth and tell me if their mouth looks right as they speak, if you concentrated on it, you would go, well, no, it doesn't act right. Now, we humans are so adaptable. We humans are so malleable. We can, in essence, compensate for anything. And the speech, if you close your eyes and simply listen to the speech, it's perfect. But it is because we have engaged an entirely different set of muscles in order to form your mouth to make these certain sounds. So, this lingual frenulum is a genetic disorder. You've collected this from some of your ancestors. So, if you have this, mom or dad also had this. And if you have this and you have children, some of your children, one of your children, all of your children will have this. It is passed on genetically. And so, what does this do as you get older? You're thinking to yourself, well, okay, fine. I've gotten over the speech thing. I'm doing just fine. Why should I care? You need to care because as you get older, that restriction of your tongue, holding your tongue back, is one of the main contributors that we see to people who get into their 50s and 60s and 70s, they start to have difficulty swallowing and they don't know why. They swallow sideways. They have to be careful about how they eat and how they swallow because they can swallow a bite of food, seems perfectly normal to them, and all of a sudden they feel this catch in their throat and they need to cough. So they cough while they are eating. The second thing that happens is they can indeed get food stuck halfway down and actually choke. So not only the annoyance of a cough, but now we run the risk of actually choking as we eat our meal. So people will always have a glass of something to drink, water, hopefully, at the ready. As they're eating a meal, they wash it down with a lot of water. Does this sound like you? The other part of this in terms of getting old is that we lose a lot of our muscle tone. We generally put on a little weight. Our necks get a little thicker. And now we start to really ramp up the snoring. The little frenulum, the little frenum under your tongue, which holds your tongue down and back, now keeps your tongue towards the back of your throat. So when you lay in bed and you have or trying to breathe, your air ability to go in and out is restricted. So now your mouth goes open, your tongue is way back towards the back of your throat, and you start to snore. And then as you are snoring, you then get your entire airway blocked off and you go into sleep apnea. And that's not good. I don't care where you're from. It is not a good thing. So if somebody years and years and years ago had just paid attention and fixed that little lingual frenum, it would have been so much better for you all through your life. It's never too late. We have folks in all stages of life that come to the office, come to Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, and we, if they do have a restricted lingual frenum, we can fix it. It used to be a lot more complicated to fix, but today it's all Star Wars. It's lasers, and we use a topical jelly that we paint on the little band of skin. The topical jelly is an anesthetic. It soaks in. We use the laser like Star Wars and Darth Vader. Vroom, vroom. You're done. And so there's no cutting, there's no stitching, there's no shots, nada. And we can release that lingual freedom. And it takes a while for all of your muscles to figure out, I'm free at last, free at last. But it makes a huge difference. And so it is much better to have this fixed. We fix this on people and they'll come home, they'll come back and go, holy cow, I can breathe so much better. We have young kids that'll go out and they'll come back and you go, I play soccer and I can run so much better. People that have had difficulty eating meals, I can swallow now. I don't have to wash every meal down. I'm not choking to death as I eat my supper. So there are tons and tons and tons of benefits from taking a little bit of time and having this procedure done, because it pays massive, gigantic benefits to you. So if you have little tiny kiddos that aren't nursing, if they are having trouble in school because of speech, bring them to me. Let me take a look. I'll tell you if they are tongue-tied or not. We can fix it. If you are older and starting to have difficulty swallowing, if you don't sleep as well as you used to, if you are snoring, if you have sleep apnea, please come see me and I can help you. It's just what we do here. We help each other out. We give you information you will find nowhere else. So, up next, you get three totally separate, totally unrelated scientific articles, and they all boil down to, you are what you eat, and the verdict ain't good. That's all I'm saying. I'll tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. It's okay to have doubt about your mouth.
You know what, guys? This is not a good look for me!
You're not alone when it comes to discomfort with your teeth and not being satisfied with your smile. Experience restorative dentistry that lasts much longer than most dentists can promise through Microscope Dentistry's best practices. Learn more at ddsradio.com and listen now to learn the difference on the Dr. Shoup Show. Here's Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, it is so good to have you here. Thank you very, very much. And as I told you before, we are going to link together three totally separate, totally unrelated scientific articles all about you, your health, your diet, and how we're doing here in Western civilization. And I'll bring the connection to it all after we get done. But article number one, the title of which is Microbial Link Between Western-Style Diet and Incidence of Colorectal Cancer Has Been Uncovered. New research builds the case that a Western-style diet, which is rich in red and processed meat, sugar, and refined grains and carbohydrates, is tied to a higher risk of colorectal cancer through intestinal microbiota. Fancy scientific thing that says this: if you eat a lot of red meat, and if you eat processed meats, if you eat McDonald's hamburgers, if you eat cold cuts, if you eat the stuff that is in shrink-wrapped in the deli, and if you eat refined sugar, if you like your soda, if you like your desserts, if you like your candy bars, if you like your sugar, and you eat a lot of carbohydrates and grains, you eat a lot of bread, you eat a lot of pasta, and that sort of thing, you are at a much higher risk for getting colon cancer, because this team looked at strains of bacteria carrying a distinct genetic island known as a polyketide synthase. And the polyketide synthase encodes for an enzyme that causes mutations in human cells. Well, guess what carries around this polyketide synthase? the bacteria in your gut. And the bacteria in your gut will live because you keep feeding it the kind of things it likes. You feed it red meat, you feed it sugar and refined carbohydrates. If you were to eat an entirely different diet, those bacteria would go away, those enzymes would go away, and you would dramatically reduce down your risk of getting colon cancer. So the food that you eat sets the stage for the microbiota, the microorganisms that live in your gut, preferentially because you eat that kind of food. And we've talked about this on the show before. If the kind of food you eat is the kind of bacteria you will grow. And the more bacteria you grow that likes that kind of food that you eat, the more it will send signals to your body, I want more. And so it's a vicious cycle. So that's article number one. Number two, long-term high-fat diet expands waistline and shrinks your brain. New research shows that fatty foods may not only be adding to your waistline, but also playing havoc with your brain. An international study led by two neuroscientists and a professor of neurobiology has established a clear link between mice that were fed high-fat diets for 30 weeks. Now, what's a high-fat diet? All that red meat. Duh. Resulting in, if they fed these rats this high-fat diet, the rats became diabetic and subsequently had a deterioration in their cognitive ability. They included developing anxiety, depression, and worsening Alzheimer's-type disease like mice do. Mice with impaired cognitive function were also more likely to gain excessive weight due to poor metabolism caused by the brain changes. So if you eat this high fatty diet, not only is it going to increase your waistline, but this is all published in the Metabolic Brain Disease research paper. It will create a circumstance that enhances your chances of getting Alzheimer's disease and cognitive deterioration. The mice on a high-fat diet gained a lot of weight, developed insulin resistance, and started behaving abnormally compared to those which were fed a standard diet. Standard diet meaning high in vegetables, high in fruits, and high in complex fatty acids. Not fat, fatty acids. Big difference. So, that's article number two. Now, for the coup de grace, the grand finale, article number three. As U.S. obesity epidemic, and they call it an epidemic, as U.S. obesity epidemic grows, new study shows who is gaining weight over the last decade. Now, here's the kicker. You can't watch television without seeing weight loss ads. We have all been in a weight loss frenzy forever. There's a new machine. There's a new gadget. There's a new way to exercise. There's new exercise pills. There are always a new exercise tablet. There's always a new exercise this, a new exercise book, weight loss this, weight loss that, new the go low this, and the all these various programs now that are online. If there was ever a society that had virtually everything possible at their fingertips to lose weight, it would be us. There isn't anything, there's no resource left untapped. The article published in the Journal of Obesity looked at the long-term weight gain of more than 13,800 U.S. adults. They found that more than half of American adults in the study gained 5% or more body weight over a 10-year period. More than a third of the American adults gained 10% or more body weight, and almost a fifth, 20%, gained 20% or more of their own body weight. The U.S. obesity epidemic is not slowing down. Using this data, the study also found the 10-year weight gain was significantly greater in women than in men. It was much greater in black women over white women. The people that gained the least amount of weight, Asian men. So here's what you have to look forward to, kids. If you are between the ages of 30 and 40, you're on average going to gain 14.3 pounds. If you're between the ages of 40 and 50, you will gain 9.5 pounds. If you're between the ages of 50 and 60, you will gain 4.6 pounds. 14 and 14 is 8, 9. So in between those things, you're going to gain roughly 25 pounds if you're average from the time you're 30 to the time you're 60. And that is killing us. We are eating a horrible diet. Our horrible diet, high fat diets, is pushing us towards diabetes, obesity, increased risk for Alzheimer's disease. So when you add all three of these up, it's not looking very bright if you eat the average Western diet. If you go to fast food places, if you eat out in restaurants all the time, if you eat red meat, if you indulge in pastries, if you eat sugar, you are going to gain a lot of weight and you're going to be miserable. I don't want you to go there. Please. Now, up next, you get to meet my good friend Chuck. He took a 30-year vacation from dentistry, but he learned about Uncle Randy, and he's going to tell you what magic I possessed to get him back into the office. He'll tell you all about it right after this.
You're listening to the Dr. Shoup Show. Exclusive insider info, audio, and video is online now at ddsradio.com. He's teaching others in the dental industry how dentistry should be done. He's rescuing dental consumers from poorly trained and overcharging dentists that have infiltrated America. This is the Dr. Shoup Show, where you learn how Microscope Dentistry by Shoup is reshaping the old dental industry model. Meet the doc and his incredible team by calling today, 317-776-1100. Online at ddsradio.com. Here is Dr. Randy Shoup.
Well, thank you all for being here. I really appreciate it. And if you're a listener of the program at all, you know this is my favorite part. I get to bring one of my new friends to you. We get to have a conversation about what goes on up at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup. And today we have a guy that came in like gangbusters and wanted to get things done. Chuck, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, doctor?
Listen, if I get a chance to talk to you, I'm always doing better. So thank you very much for being here. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I told the folks earlier as we were kind of, you know, teasing this segment and so forth that you came in and you were kind of ready to rock and roll, and we're about halfway through. And so first off, how did you come to find me in the first place?
Well, I've been working with a lady for 27 years and working with her and trust her, and she was a patient of yours. And, you know, during that 27 years, I heard, this is before she started going to you, I heard all these horror stories that she had about dental, this or that. I got a crown, I got a you know, just everything under the sun. And I said, well, that's why I don't go to the dentist anymore, is because, you know, every time I go, everything seems fine, and they want to just drill and fill, and, you know, it's, but I started feeling a couple things where I'd had sensitivity to cold, and, you know, I said, well, maybe I need to go to a dentist, because it had literally been 30 years. And she was going to you and said, I really like this guy. He seems to know what he's doing. He explains everything. And he kind of said, hey, whoever helped you before really did a disservice to you. And this is what we're going to do. And fixed a lot of things for her. And she was very complimentary of you. And I said, well, I need to go see somebody. So I trusted her, and now I trust you.
Well, thank you very, very much. It took 26 years to get you to me, but man, I don't care. I'm just happy as the dickens that you're here. So you let her be the guinea pig, and so now that you came up and we have looked things over, how were things for you as we did our initial meet and greet?
Well, I mean, you laid everything out. You had a plan. You said, these are some options, you know, some of the things I'd really like you to do. I mean, nothing was ever pushed on me like you have to do this, maybe except for the one cavity. You said, you really need to do that one. But everything else was explained. This is why we're doing this procedure or that. And, you know, it was, you know, I felt like I was in control.
Well, you're a sharp guy, and as most patients are, and if you simply give you the data, give you the information, inform you of what your choices are, I honestly pretty much trust you to make a good decision for yourself. You're not going to make a bad decision for yourself. I'd help you not do that. But now I really appreciate it that you feel the sense of being empowered rather than being a victim.
Right, right. I wish some political candidates would see that way, but let's don't get
No, don't go there. No.
But no, I felt empowered, like you said, and I could choose what I want to get done. And, you know, and you did a great job. I mean, you were, you know, some of the things you said during the time you were working on me were, you know, wow, that guy does a really good job of making these, I don't know what you call them, the implants or whatever.
Sure.
I didn't have implants, but...
But the onlays.
Thing that goes over the top. And to me, you have a humble attitude. It's not all you. It's everybody around you that does a great job, from your hygienist to everybody that's in your organization. And, you know, that makes a difference for me, too, is that, you know... You recognize the people that work with you. I appreciate that.
Oh, man, thank you very much for that. I value that greatly because, my gosh, no, you can't do any of this stuff alone. You can't do it in a vacuum. I have the guy I was referencing is my lab man, and I when I seat some of my work in and put it in, and it just fits so beautifully and it looks so wonderful. I always say, yeah, I love my lab man, and I make jokes. I like, you know, if it came between a choice between my wife and my lab man, I'd have a really hard time trying to figure out, because I can get another wife. I don't know that I can get another lab guy. So, you know, it just you make these choices in life. But no, I thank you. And yeah, my hygienist is amazing. Elena is so thorough and she's so complete. But you can't do this stuff alone. You have to build a team, like you said, in order to deliver the kind of product that we want to deliver. So things are going well for you, I take it.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, the cold sensation, you know, that's gone away. I feel like, you know, everything's back to normal.
Well, I love it. And I am very, very much appreciative that you came in, and especially the whole, I don't know if anybody caught it necessarily or if it soaked in, but you had purposefully been away from dentistry for over 30 years because
Correct.
You simply hated what you got. It was like going to a store and buying something and you just hate it when you take it home. It's a bad product that you never go back. Why would you?
Right.
So
I went to a dentist, not even in the Indianapolis areas when I lived somewhere else, and so I won't mention names, but this guy told me I needed 5 cavities filled, and I was like, I've only had 2 cavities in my life. And I went to another dentist, and he's like, you're fine. You know, so
yeah, those things just make me so embarrassed. I hate it when that
happens. I know. Well, you're in a category with attorneys. Let's just offend everybody. Politicians, attorneys.
Oh God, yeah. let's just all go there. No, I get it. I understand what you're saying, and so that's why. I mean, for us, doing a thorough exam up front, giving you a written documentation of everything that I looked at, letting you see the pictures of your teeth. So I'm not trying to talk you into anything. You and I look at it together. You mentioned those things really were empowering to you, and that's really how we all ought to operate. We ought to all be on a level playing field here.
Well, and you understand what you need to do to improve your health. You know, you understand that you have acids in your mouth that you need to neutralize with the baking soda, and you know, and,
sure.
and you know why you do things. It's important to know why you do things so that, number one, you want to do them, and number two, so you know what's going to happen if you don't do those things. So I appreciate the information.
Well, I thank you for that. Yeah, my one of my favorite words in the whole world is why. Tell me why something is the way it is, and I can understand it, and we go from there. And that's my philosophy with you, is with all my patients. Let me let you understand why this is important, and then it'll be important for you too. So, yeah, I don't try to arm twist anybody. That doesn't make any sense. Chuck, I really appreciate the time that you've shared with me and my listeners. It's very valuable to me, and I thank you very, very much.
Well, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you in the dental chair soon.
Well, I hope so, and we'll have more conversations then too. So I appreciate you sharing your story. I know somebody listening goes, you know, I haven't been to the dentist in 30 years either. Maybe I ought to go. I'm sure you've helped somebody that you don't even know, but you've helped them, and I thank you for doing that. I really appreciate
it. I can tell them to trust this guy right here because
thank you, dude.
I did, and it was a completely different experience, a good one, and thank you.
My friend, I will see you at the office soon. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, take care.
Take care, Chuck. All right, bye.
Bye.
Well, there you have it. I hope you enjoyed listening to that as much as I always enjoy bringing this information to you. You know, you can go to ddsradio.com and give me your ideas and suggestions of topics you want me to cover on the program. Happy to do that. I look at those suggestions all the time. And I want you to know that if any time I can be of help to you up at Microscope Dentistry by Shoup, it is what we are all about. We want you to be educated. We want you to be able to make great, healthy decisions wherever you are. And if you are making those decisions there, more power to you. But if you ever get in a spot where you think, kind of want to see what Uncle Randy has to say about this, I get this all the time. So come up and give us a call. We would love to have you. And we want you to know this summer, when your kids are playing, get them a mouth guard. So until you and I chat next time, be sure to brush and floss.
Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're smiling, baby,